was here. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We are now in our second session on the Rambam Hilchas Shofar. We're in Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, Chapter 1, Law 5, in the Maznaim text that puts us on page 20 and 21. We're discussing what kind of shofar is appropriate to use on Rosh Hashanah, and we started with that. We got into some other laws, and we continue with discussing the type of shofar that one can use. Halacha Hey. So who's what one is that one?
Maybe that's
oh, okay, so he's still around. Okay, good.
Well, his book's learning.
Shear HaShofar, the measurement of a shofar. How? What's the smallest shofar? What's the minimum amount of the size of a shofar? Kedei sheyochazenu, so that you're able to hold the shofar. V'yeira lekan ulekan. You can see a little bit of it sticking out on one side, a little bit of it sticking out on the other side.
One hand or both?
No, one hand.
Oh, okay.
What is this? No.
It says in one's...
Biyado. The Hebrew says biyado in his hand. I don't know what the English
one's
says.
Hands. Oh, yeah. It says hands.
Well, it is a hand, because the Hebrew is the word biyado.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact we need that is because we don't want people to think that the guy's blowing out of his hand.
Right, so you have to see this.
You know, there's some people very adept at making mamish the most amazing musical notes with their hands, you know. I'm not so good at that. But there are guys, you know, they can make all kinds of noises. So how do you know the guy's not fooling everybody? So you gotta see a little bit something sticking out of one side, sticking out of the other side. You at least know you have a proper shofar. Now, what is that amount? So the rabbis say, for an average person, you could have a big basketball player's hands, or Goliath hands. We're talking about the hands of an average person, and the measurement we give that to be is a tefach. A tefach is approximately what? The four fingers is a tefach. Two inches, whatever. How many inches is this? Whatever. That is the amount of the minimum shofar. So it doesn't have to be a very big shofar. Now, what if we have certain problems? For example, nistak leorko. If it cracks along the length of the shofar, then possible. It is possible. The picture in your book on page 20 is not such a great picture. I mean, okay, I guess you could see the crack a little bit there. So it renders it invalid. L'ruchbo, if it is across the width, then as long as im nishtayer bo kashir, as long as you have left the amount of the shear, that minimum requirement, if you have a tefach left, then kosher, it's kosher.
On both sides of the hand.
We'll see. Uke'ilu nichras mekom ha-sedek. So we'll look at it as if the part of the crack has been cut off totally. Mm. And what's left is what you've got. Okay. So, one second. So as long as you have enough that the person can blow, then that would be enough. Now, so over here, there's a whole discussion over here, that regarding a crack, he says, along the width, right, we just mentioned this minimum figure, but there's no minimum figure relating to if it's cracked the long way. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean it's cracked the long way? What will make it puzzle or not? So some say that, they say as long as the entire length of the shofar is not cracked, the shofar is not disqualified. In other words, the majority. If the majority is not cracked, it's still kosher. So if a minority, if a crack goes less than 50%, it's okay. Others say that even the slightest crack along the length will make it not kosher. Why? Because once you start blowing, you create a tremendous amount of pressure into the shofar. And once you've got to begin to crack, if you start blowing, the crack will just extend itself along, and ultimately the entire shofar will be cracked and will become puzzle. Regarding the halacha, he brings down over there that the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Mishnah Berurah say that if there's no other shofar available, you can rely on the first opinion, that as long as the majority is not cracked, it's okay. And then they say that even the second opinion that says even a little bit is puzzle, but if you tie it up around the shofar very tightly so that the crack won't expand, then it will still even be kosher, even according to that opinion. Okay, So that is regarding that. Now, when we're talking about a crack on the width, so as long as the measure's amount, a minimum amount is left, we say it's okay. So what does that mean? So most poskim say we're talking about from the crack to the shofar's mouth, going down. In other words, you look where the crack is, pretend there's no more shofar left, what do you got left to the end? And then that's what's good. But other mephorshim say that the shofar is acceptable even from the other side, from the crack to the end. If you have the crack is around, and now you have a tefach going from the crack and beyond to the wider side. Hardest for to understand. The first part makes more. Well, you're not cutting the shofar down anyway.
True.
So he's saying you have a minimum amount. In other words, the bottom line is, so if you cut it the other way, let's say you cut it the other way, from to the small side,
right,
you still have a tefach. It'll be a little bit more difficult to blow.
That's
but, you still, you know, generally a shofar starts narrow and goes wide. So even if you cut the lower part of the shofar from the place of the cut, that point would still probably be a little bit more narrow than the beyond part of the shofar.
Right.
It would be a much more challenging thing to blow such a shofar.
Yeah.
But technically, but be that as it may, you're still blowing with the lower part and the blowing comes out properly.
Right.
So there's a machlokas in that opinion. Okay, continuing.
Maybe
now.
You're not as worried about it spreading if it's going.
It's not. It's already round. Round isn't going to crack it open. Isn't going to crack it open. Okay, now another issue. What if there's a hole in your shofar? Kneecap. If there's a hole piercing right through and through one of the walls of the shofar, doesn't have to go from one end through the hole, through the middle, and then going to the other end.
It goes to the center. But, of the shofar.
But it goes through one part of the shofar, one wall. The shofar penetrates in to there,
into the center.
So what's going to be the halacha then? So nikav. So im stomo. If you close up the hole, shalobamino, with a different material of non-horn-like material. Let's say you're using glue. You know, carpenter's glue, whatever, the stuff they get used to fill in the holes in, when you're painting the walls. I don't know, what plaster, place, I don't know. So you put that in, so, puzzle. That's puzzle. That's not acceptable. And the reason is because that's not called a kol shofar. You're not going to hear the voice of the shofar, it's going to be the voice of the shofar and some other material. Because remember, the entire shofar is what gives the sound. That when you blow, it's the entire wall of the shofar that makes the sound. Now, if you put a little bit of silly putty or whatever in that hole, the air is passing by the silly putty and the shofar. So it's kol shofar v'silly putty. But the halacha is just kol shofar. The voice, and only the shofar and nothing else.
Have a bit of a bounce to it.
Now it's interesting. They bring down the Yerushalmi says, most interestingly, I don't know if we paskin like this, but if you don't fill in the crack, the Yerushalmi says it's kosher. Because you still have a kosher shofar. You don't, in other words, according to Yerushalmi, it's better to not paste it with a non-shofar material and leave a hole, because it's still kol shofar, and it's okay. Interestingly enough, I don't know what the final psak halach is, but that's what he says there. But if you're putting another material, that's certainly not good. Now, but what if stomo bimino? What if you fill it with its own kind? In other words, you took a little piece of a shofar from a chip from another shofar and stuck it into that spot. So it's shofar-like material. So it's still not going to be kosher. We have to see a few more things. Im nishtaya ruba shalom, if the majority is still shofar, original shofar, incomplete, as opposed to a huge hole, a humongous hole that you filled in with shofar material. We're saying, no, the hole is much less than the entire mass of the shofar. And, the lo ikvu hanekovim shenistemu esatkiya, and the holes that have been filled up are not holding back the sound of the shofar. Now, it doesn't make it that you can't blow the shofar anymore. Hareze kosher. It comes out the shofar is kosher. So you have to have a number of qualifications over here. One second, where's Mem Gimel? So he comes out like this, that the sound doesn't change. right? Could be, let's say, for example, when there was a hole, the sound was totally different than a shofar sound. And now you plug it up with a shofar-like material, and now the sound is pretty much like it was before, then that's okay. So, so it comes out we need three conditions when a hole is there to make it kosher. Number one, that you're filling in the hole with shofar-like material. Number two, that most of the shofar has not been pierced with a hole. And number three is that the noise of the shofar is not any different now that it's plugged up than it was before any hole came in from before. You'd have to have all those three conditions. I've never seen a shofar with a hole. I've never seen a shofar that's been plugged up. But that is the halacha. Yeah.
Could you cover it with your hand the way you hold the shofar?
Again, so it depends. According to Yerushalmi, that's saying that the hole alone would be okay, then it's okay.
You know,
so what does he bring down here? Look, brings down, look at the footnote on 21 at the bottom. He says, in the Rambam's commentary to Rosh Hashanah, he says the hole must be plugged. But the Shulchan Aruch does not accept that opinion. Shulchan Aruch says the hole does not have to be plugged. I guess it's based on that Yerushalmi I told you, that if the hole's not plugged, the shofar's kosher, even though the sound has changed. Paskins the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah says that if another shofar is available, then you shouldn't use one with a hole, obviously. But it comes out, Shulchan Aruch holds that if it has a hole, even though the noise is different, it's okay. So certainly, according to what you're saying, if you have no other shofar, you put your hand over, you don't even have to put your hand over at all. But,
if you can't really blow it with a proper sound with the hole existing, and it helps to cover with your finger, then that would be okay, it sounds.
The only thing I'm figuring, we could think about that then. Well, I don't know. See, I hear what Shelley's singing. Yep, then it's a shofar sound plus a hand.
Yeah, but that's a...
That's already... But you're not attaching
it's not a
it
synthetic
to the shofar.
Item or something.
It's not...
The air is bouncing on the sound. That's how, like, most woodwinds work. So, a recorder, you plug it up and you can actually get different sounds.
You can vary the sound based on what you blow into it as well with your mouth.
It's not one sound of the shofar. It's two of the
sound. Okay, so there's what to think about. So we'll do like the Ramon and make sure to get one without the hole. Okay, let's move on. Now I'm going to talk about the next case. Now, it seems, I'm not an expert in shofar business here, but it seems that the horn, the shofar that grows out of the ram, first in his head is like a bony matter that comes out, and then there's the shofar part that is over the bony matter. All right. So what happens is when you cut the shofar off, what you have is you've got the exterior shofar part, and inside is like bony mass that's there. So I guess the shofar industry, what they do is they extricate the bony mass, and now you've got a hollow shofar, and then they cut a hole at the end, and that's how you have a shofar. I mean, I haven't seen it, but the way the comment is saying, that's what's going on over here. That bony mass is called the zachrus, so to speak, the male component of the shofar.
Okay.
It's like what's filling in the hole.
Right.
So they call it the male component of it. So let's say you took this shofar and you never really removed the inner part of the shofar totally. What you did is you took a borer and you drilled the hole straight through.
Through the middle of the bony part.
You're keeping everything, came off of the ram, right? You didn't clean it out, empty it out, but you took a drill and went all the way through till the mouthpiece, and I got a hole straight through that. That's the case. So let's see what the ram has to say about that. You pierce the hole through the male component part, the inner stuffings, so to speak, of the shofar. Kosher. It's a kosher shofar. Why? Because we have a rule. Shemin b'mino, a kind with its own kind, ein chotzes, is not considered a chatzitza. It's not considered an intervening substance, which is not allowed. In other words, you can't have any intervening substances in the shofar. In other words, we will learn in Halacha Zayin, you can't have a shofar in a shofar. What if you put one shofar, concentric shofars? Well, the law will discuss. There's going to be problems. So you might think it's two shofars. You've got the bony mass inside is one shofar, and the actual exterior part is another shofar. You might think it's blowing with two shofars, that's not good. No, it's essentially considered one shofar, and it's not considered any intervening substance, and therefore it is kosher.
Is it, Rabbi, do you know, is there space between the bony mass and the shofar?
I don't know. Does it fill it? I would assume it fills it all in.
But there's air, because otherwise then you'd have...
No, I would assume it fills it all in. So I'm assuming I don't know, but I would assume it fills it all in. Someone can do a little research in their biology book and say, how does it exactly...
Ask the rabbi at that living
Torah. Yeah, he would know for sure. Yeah. That could be a whole class before we should go there before Shoshana.
Yeah, probably a DVD on it, because they have tons of
right.
DVDs.
So anyway, so somebody can do a little research. How does it grow? Does it first you have the... I have no idea. I'm such ignorant about these things. You know, is it first the bony mass and then the shofar goes around? I don't know. So you have to check it out. Okay, now what if you got a shofar that's been broken up into pieces, and now you glue them together? Dibeg shivrei shofaras, if you glue the different parts of a shofar, ad sheshlim lecha, until you've made one shofar, pasul.
I mean, each piece is less than a tefach.
Well,
does it matter? That's no different than putting.
Well, let's see how we explain. So they say, even though you don't have in any one of the pieces enough of the size for a shofar, right? And you could say that there really isn't one shofar, and you don't. It's not like you're having two or three shofars. Sir says you can only blow one shofar. And you don't have any one that's more than the amount. So it's not like I have two or three shofars, but it's still puzzle.
Isn't the glue a foreign object anyway?
Well, no, it's not filling the hole. It's not filling the hole. It's just connecting the two. It's not a hole where that glue is. You know what I'm saying? So that's not the issue. But the fact is, you know, if it really had if one piece had the whole amount, it's not clear. Well, then maybe it could be a problem. If you had two of those, then maybe it'd be like two shofars, maybe puzzle.
Well, just don't do it. If
I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't think it's going to happen too often.
I think if one's enough, okay. Then don't do it.
Yeah. Now, here becomes the next issue. You see, here, now it leads into Allah above. Now, the issue is, what piece was enough, and then you add another piece? Well, first of all, why would you add another piece?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't do it.
If the base part already is the tefach, leave it. But then if you're going to add, that will roll us right into Allah Chavav. Hosif Allah Kalshu. Let's say you have a shofar, and now you decide to add on. You build an extra room onto your shofar. An addition.
An extension.
You had a shofar, and you make an extension. Right? Bain Bimino, regardless if it's its same material, that's mamish the case we're discussing now. Bain Shalom Bimino, or it's not its kind. Puzzle, it's not good, because that's like two shofars, bingo. So that's why when it's cut up into pieces, so clearly if it's one piece big enough, you add more, it's still not going to be good. The chiddush is in the piece case before, even though all five pieces are all less than the size of a shofar, I don't have two shofars, but it's still going to be puzzle. Now what if though you didn't do that, but sipohu zomi bifnim, what if you just glazed it with gold on the inside of the shofar? You poured hot gold chvase. Gold plated it from the inside. Okay. Then, or on the outside, but where you put your mouth. That's puzzle. Why? Because number one, it's going to be the sound of a gold and not the sound of shofar. Right? It's the gold that's making the sound, not the shofar. And the case where it's at the bottom, so it's not your mouth, there's a barrier between your mouth and the shofar, which is not allowed. In spite of the fact, interestingly enough, it comes out like this. If you put a little gold piece right at the mouth of the shofar and you blow, then there's an intervening substance in your lips and the shofar, it's not kosher. But there's another halacha that Rama doesn't bring, but what if you take the shofar an inch away from your mouth, and you blow that way. Now, I don't know how it could technically work. But let's say you do, and if it comes up, then it's okay.
You mean the space between
Yeah, let's say you, here's the mouth of the shofar, exactly like this.
You wouldn't get the sound.
I get the sound.
I'm just saying, if you could. So it's kosher, because there's no intervening substance. In other words, you're technically, your lips do not have to touch the shofar.
As long as you blow into your hand with the shofar, like, you hold your finger against...
But your hand can have something between your lips and the shofar.
Right.
In other words, it's just air between your lips and the shofar. Yeah. That would be kosher because there's no hefsek, there's no intervening substance.
But we're now about to read that the fact that if you put silver over the outside, it's okay.
I didn't, let me get there, Howard.
But you just said a second ago, if you put silver at the mouthpiece on the outside.
We said that's no good.
Yeah, but it just says now, if you put
silver. I didn't read it. Did I read it yet? Okay. So let me read it and I'll explain. Okay. Sipo mi bachutz, if you did on the outside and not including the mouthpiece part, and it's the whole length of the shofar, but not the part where your lips are touching it. That's what it means, obviously. So now, because if it's touching by the mouthpiece, we already know it's not good. So it's not a non-issue. We're speaking where it's only on the outside along the length, but not by the mouthpiece.
Does that change the sound? Is that the reason?
Let's keep reading, Howard.
I'm talking about before.
Let's keep reading. Im nishtana kolo mikmoshoy, if the fact is gold plating on the outside changes the sound of the shofar, then it's possible. Because it's causing a different sound than the shofar itself. Therefore, the Ramban says there were people who would make decorations to make the shofar look pretty. I guess they carve the outside or put on different types of decorations. He says it's not good because that itself changes the sound, very interestingly. And therefore, it makes differences over there. Now, those would be... I'm sorry. Let me clarify. They put images with paint. They're putting on something as decorations as opposed to carving. They brings out carving would be okay because you haven't really, it's the same shofar, right? There's a little less meat, wall to the shofar, but it's still going to make the sound of the shofar. As we'll see in another halacha in a minute, you'll see how this will fit in.
As long as it doesn't
so if you're carving, images, engraving images, a shofar would still be kosher. And I'm sure you could sell it for a lot of money nowadays. But if you're painting pictures along the shofar, then that's like you're adding material to the shofar, and if it would change the sound of the shofar, then it would be possible. Okay? So back to the thing. So if you glazed it, or what did we say, plated it with gold on the outside, but not by the mouthpiece, if the noise is different, it's possible. Vim lo nishan, but the noise is the same, kosher. Now, how we come to nasan shofar b'sarek shofar. What if you put one shofar inside another shofar? So it depends what you're hearing. The only way you're going to know that is first you have to blow both shofars separately. You know what noise you get when you blow shofar A, and what noise you get when you blow shofar B. Now you put A into B. So now, if im kol panimi shama, if what you're hearing is the inside shofar, then yatsa, you're okay, because the out one is on the outside, but it's not really affecting the, and let's say the inner one is longer than the outer one on both sides. Let's say you got an inner shofar that's long and the outer shofar runs over it, but it doesn't come to the end on both sides. So you're really hearing the outside shofar, then that's okay.
What's the point of putting it over it then? It doesn't
I don't know. We're just saying the halachas, you know.
I can understand if it was longer, then it's extending the tube, but if it's shorter,
I have no idea. Okay. What if you only hear the outside shofar? I guess that is longer on both ends. Then lo yotze, you're not yotze because the inside one becomes the voice is distorted by the inside one. And then it's like you're blowing with two shofars, because the inside one has to make some impact. Now, you're supposed to have the part below is narrow, and the part on top is wide. Now, the mystical significance of that is that the lower part is down, that's facing the earth. The upper part is wide, symbolically saying, what's down here, the physical world, we should be very narrow, very little. But on the up, the part's up to the heavenly, the spiritual part, that should be very wide. So that's why you want it to be narrow down here and wide above. So now what if you did now, through different techniques, what if hirchiv es hakotzer, you widened the narrow part, v'kitzer es harachav, and you narrowed the wider part. Okay, either by melting it down or whatever. Posel, that would be posel. He says you put it in boiling water, it gets soft, and when it's soft, you manipulate, etc., etc. It's possible. Why? Because the Torah says you will pass the shofar that makes the sound. It has to be the way the ram, it was on its head to begin with. It has to be the way the shofar grew. That's the way you have to blow the shofar. Good. Yes, sir.
With regards to the plating on the outside, so if you go into, for example, let's say you go into a Judaica store and you see a very nice externally plated shofar, but according to this it says if the plating had changed it from its original sound.
How would you know? You're going to ask. I have no idea. You'd have to really blow it before and blow
what's
it after.
With?
Have you ever seen this?
There's one in Israel.
Right. Isn't that a problem even if it doesn't change the sound because now you're hearing silver?
No, if it's on the outside.
Outside,
we just read. It says on the outside if it doesn't change the sound.
I think most of these ornamentations can come off and then you can try to playing it this way.
One in Israel's right now. They all try to get a picture of it.
Interesting. You should maybe ask them if he'll let you borrow it for a day for educational purposes and we'll bring it back. You know, it depends. I would also say it depends. I'm just theorizing here. You know, if you're talking about like a hunk of gold, you know, like a chunk of thick gold, I can hear it would change the sound. But let's say just little paint, gold paint. I can't imagine gold paint, let's say, would change the sound. But that'd be a very interesting halacha. And you're right. How would you know if the sound has changed? The only way you'd have to know, first of all, you definitely would have to have a hechsher to that shofar. You know, shofars are supposed to come with a little kosher sign. You know, so it could be if the manufacturer, there was a mashkiach, you know, he blows it before, and then they put it on afterwards, he blows it afterwards, and he says it's the same sound, then they can give you hashkacha that it's a good shofar.
Or it could be a bedieved.
Okay, but why would we want to buy a bedieved shofar? I understand on the one hand you want to make a hit or miss. We want to make it a more beautiful looking shofar. I could hear that idea. But so the truth is you could do that, provide you don't alter the sound of the shofar. That would be what it's dependent on. So, okay, if you can bring it, say, you know, we just learned this halacha. And the truthful, you may want to, if, you know, we would think about that and say, you might want to ask them, is there a hechsher to this? And they say, what are you talking about? I say, well, we just learned. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, for educational purposes.
Customers
you know,
like that, they don't want it. No, they
you just say.
Women in there.
Because maybe they should pull it off. It's not a kosher shofar.
What are you looking for with a hechsher for a shofar? Like what?
There's a stamp. Name? There'll be a stamp.
But who's
a reputable one, which I will not speak out on a tape recorder running. But if you bring it, we'll take.
For food, there's 4 million hechshers.
We will do this when the tape recorder is off.
Is there like a standard association, like somebody who can do like calibration for those things? Seriously.
I don't know. Like, but you will find some shofars have a little tag that says there's a.
It's from Iran.
Yeah, first of all, I know it's from Iran. But generally, if it's bent, I mean, it's.
Does it have to be made by Jews?
There doesn't seem to be any halachic.
So you can import Chinese.
I can't imagine what goyim ever. I have no idea.
Don't give him the idea.
I have no idea. Do goyim at all blow ram's horns? I have bechlal no idea. This is something that they did in the Wild West. 300 years ago, or in the jungles of Echves.
When you get the shofar all nice and shiny, they must sand it.
No, then they do other things to it. Yeah,
that's going to change the...
No, but you're not adding
external things.
You're just making it
shape. But if you lacquer it or something like that. But
okay,
that really
again, that's just on
mitzvah,
the outside.
You know how we make tzitzis, you know, and they say l'shem mitzvah, you know?
I don't think it has to be l'shem. I went through the whole three parakim. Rambam doesn't say so, at least. Rambam doesn't say so. Okay, let's try to... Okay, Zion. No, did we do that already? We began the first one. We're in the middle of Zion, right? Again, Haya Aruch V'Kitzro. Oh no, I didn't.
You're starting
then. Now Zayin. Haya Aruch. What if it was long? V'Kitzro, and you shortened it. You chopped off the top. Kosher. It's okay.
As long as it's long enough when it's the short
one. You might think that's not the way it grew on the animal, right? Or let's say, but then it's still okay. Another is a Chiddush. Let's say there was a crack on the length from the top. So then what do you do? Chop off the top and you got no crack.
Yeah.
You know, so then what's the halacha? Kosher. It's kosher because you still have the basic shofar.
And if you don't chop it, it's not kosher.
But it's getting into the machlokas now, depending on how much. Let's say you have a long shofar.
Okay.
That's, let's say, 2 feet
long. Then it'll be less than the majority.
And now more than a foot was cracked going down, then you're you cut it there, you still have more than a tefach, and you have a kosher shofar. Right. So that's a way to fix a shofar with a crack. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now here's the thing, gerdo, what if you start scraping it? Either from the inside or the outside. But here's the point. Even all you got left, you have a real thick shofar, you've been scraping and scraping and scraping, all you got left now is a thin shell, a skeletal shell. It's like the thinnest, you've never seen this, but let's say a thin, hollow-shelled shofar. You with me?
Yeah.
Like, normally it's like this thick, I mean, a good thick chunk of shofar. And now it's like, mamish, razor thin. Like the inside, they just, and besides taking out the zohar part, they just kept, you know, sanding it down for the inside, sanding, until it's a razor thin, hollow shofar. So, that's what he says. Even though you're making it with its, an external shell remains, kosher, it's kosher. Because you still have a shofar. It's still a shofar.
Do you think that would change the sound?
Doesn't matter, but it's still the shofar. Like remember, it's the sound of a shofar. Remember, you took out the zohar part, you know, I don't know how much, if you take it all, you leave a little bit. It's still the very same shofar.
Why would someone do that?
I don't know.
No, changing the pitch.
It's just, it might be a very beautiful sounding shofar.
Yeah, like, also, I mean, if the crack didn't go, like the vertical crack didn't go all the way through. Could you scrape it enough so the crack wouldn't be there anymore?
Maybe.
There's a hairline.
Maybe, crack, maybe, maybe. Now, what about the sound of the shofar? What if Hayakola Av, let's say the shofar makes a very thick, deep sound.
Baritone shofar.
Oh, dak, or thin, a light sound, or tsorur, or raspy sound. Kosher, it's okay. Why? Shekol hakolos ksherim b'shofar. All sounds are good for a shofar. It doesn't have to be the most beautiful melody. Any sound is good for a shofar. Okay, perfect place to stop. Not really, but
one more.
Already over 30 minutes, so I don't want to...